Keep the saltiness. Mark chapter 9 verse 38 to 50. How many of you can survive without salt? If you say you can survive without salt, you need to check what you eat again. Some food, such as meat and seafood, naturally contain salt. So although you don't add salt as seasoning to your food, you naturally take it in through many ways even without noticing it. Saltiness is one of the five basic human tastes in addition to sweetness, sourness, bitterness, and umami, which is a savory, meaty taste, such as that of cooked mushrooms, cheese, or soy sauce. Salt plays a crucial role in maintaining human health because sodium is essential for nerve and muscle function and is involved in the regulation of fluids in the body. Sodium also plays a role in the body's control of blood pressure and volume. Likewise, not only as a source of food and physical health, but also in countless ways, salt is useful and essential for our life. In ancient times, a war occurred to get salt, and many ancient countries were built in an area with easy access to salt. And you know what? According to vocabulary.com, the word celery comes from the Latin word salarium, which also means salary and has the root sol or salt. Today, salt is inexpensive to purchase at the grocery store. We can easily get it. So oftentimes we forget how precious it is. But today's gospel, Mark chapter 9 verse 50, reminds us of its importance. Salt is good. But if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Actually, today's gospel text, Mark 9, 38 to 50, seems like it has three different stories. Story of another exorcist in verses 38 to 41, temptation to sin in verse 42 to 48, and parable of salt in verses 49 to 50. They look irrelevant to each other, and some are even difficult to hear and hard to understand. Then we may wonder why Jesus was talking about these things to his disciples. Last week, we shared two important teachings of Jesus that were located right before this story. To his disciples who were arguing about who was the greatest among them, Jesus taught them, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. And today's message is an extension of that teaching about the meaning of discipleship, how to be the true follower of Jesus. Even though it may seem like three irrelevant stories, they all support important teachings of Jesus that we shared last week. Be servantable and welcome a little one. If the disciples really accepted this, they would not stop the man who was casting out demons in Jesus' name only because he did not follow them. The disciples who were following Jesus should not discriminate or judge others, outsiders, because of their different type of faith. This text does not mean that we need to accept anyone, even those who don't follow the truth of God and do evil. We should not misunderstand this. If others, outsiders, have faith in Jesus Christ within Christianity, the important thing that we need to consider is not how much they are similar to us, but how much they please God and try to follow the way of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, the disciples need to remember what it means to follow Jesus. Already, Jesus taught them, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. This means that followers of Jesus need to change their attitude of self-pride, self-complacency, having one's own way, or having no regard for others, which are the result of trying to be the first and greatest of all. These attitudes make people, especially those who are socially disadvantaged, the weak and the powerless, get discouraged and fall into sin. The disciples should not seek higher and powerful position, but rather we should welcome them and seek opportunities to serve others. We, the follower of Jesus, should not put stumbling blocks before them, but we should keep help and guide them to grow in faith. Finally, Jesus spoke about salt. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Actually, this is one of the most difficult verses to understand in the Gospel of Mark. Each scholar has a different interpretation of this verse, but we try to understand what Jesus meant here based on the features of a salt. First, one of the uses of salt is as a preservative. Today, salt is used as one preservative among many. But in ancient times, preserving in salt was the only way to keep food from decay for a long time. Leviticus 2:13 says, "You shall not omit from your grain offerings the salt of the covenant with your God. With all your offerings you shall offer salt." And in Matthew 5:13, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." Jesus wants us to live as the salt of this world, preserving this world from decay, destruction, and corruption. In Genesis chapter 18, God said that if Abraham found 10 righteous people, for the sake of this 10, God would not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, though they were extremely corrupt. These 10 would be the salt, preventing them from being destroyed. Now, this world that we live in is going crazy. Much corruption and evil is all around, but Jesus called us to live as the salt of this world. Help and lead this world not to be destroyed, but to go right way by following the way of Jesus Christ. Secondly, salt is a symbol of purity and humbleness. Salt does not have a fancy color, does not have any smell, and even salt loses its own shape and form when it is used properly. But it keeps its own usefulness and purpose. Likewise, as disciples of Jesus, we also do not reveal ourselves to others with our own color and our own smell. But we never lose our own purpose in this world, which is revealing Jesus Christ. As we are called by God as the last of all and servant of all, we reveal Jesus in this world through our love and service for others. Thirdly, salt is essential for flavoring the food. If it is overused, it ruins food by making it just salty. But if it is properly used, it helps all the other food by bringing out the best flavor, making harmony among them. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone." Jesus called each one of us to flavor this world with our own saltiness. The disciples of flavor this world with the flavor of Jesus Christ, bringing out the flavor of peace, justice, and love in this world, so that everyone lives in good harmony with Jesus Christ. On average, sea water and the world's ocean has approximately 3.5% salinity. This means that only 3.5% salinity enables the whole ocean water to keep its purpose, to not decay, and provide the proper environment for all the sea creatures. Jesus called us to be salt of this world. Now, about 31% of the world's population is Christianity. This means that about 7.3 billion people are called to be salt of this earth. Even in America, about 62% of the population claims to be Christian. There are nearly 240 million Christians in America. Those large numbers make us look back at ourselves and ask how well are we taking a role as the salts of the earth? How well are we ready to be true disciples of Jesus Christ? How well are we willing to be the last of all and servant of all? How well are we willing to welcome others? How well do we flavor this world with the flavor of Jesus, peace, justice, and love? Let us be salted with fire. Let us be good as salt is good. Let us give our own saltiness. Let us have salt in ourselves and be at peace with one another. It is our call as disciples of Jesus Christ in this world. Praise God. Amen.